Our learning today will be Le'ilei Nishmas Freida Gnesha Bas HaRav Nasan Natan, sponsored by her son, Rav David Schwartz. And also, we're learning for Refuah Shlema for Miriam Bas Manavar. Our topic we're going to discuss is if a person is acting as a witness and they're not fully frum, can we accept their testimony? So let's start off that as a general rule, there are different types of testimonies. There are different types of people who act as witnesses in different contexts. Sometimes the form of being a witness is just to verify, clarify something. And sometimes the form of being a witness is to change status. So for example, although that for all official halachic testimonies, we generally need witnesses who, by law of the Torah, they have to be adult males and frum and the like, and you know, over bar mitzvah and the like, but there are sometimes exceptions to that when we can accept a testimony even if a person doesn't meet that category. For example, to allow a woman who's an aguna, where we're not sure if her husband passed away, and someone who's not, you know, of that category, not a male, etc., if the testimony was given over by someone who saw this person died, they could testify. So that's a special leniency by aguna. We find also sometimes if there was, let's say, a dispute, a fight that happened and someone hurt someone and the only people that saw were maybe someone who was not a man or the like, who was a frum, etc. person. So the Rama in Choshen Mishpan, Hilchas Eidim, brings down that we can take the testimony of people who we trust, even if they're not, you know, Pishnei Edim, two male bar mitzvah people, etc. Fine. But there is one thing that we don't, what doesn't change is for witnesses that are to do with a kiddushin, marrying two people off. So you need two witnesses. So the witnesses need to be specifically bar mitzvah, age or the like, male, etc. And for if it was a get, you also need two male witnesses that are from keeping mitzvahs and the like. So that's called Eidei Kiyum, witnesses which establish the matter. So what I would like to go into is a very interesting and large debate as to what we would use if we had witnesses who weren't so from, but they are Tinuk Shanishpa. Tinuk Shanishpa, as we'll see, is somebody who didn't grow up with a frum education, an Orthodox education, and maybe because of that, they don't know that they're doing things wrong all the time, and they didn't know better, so maybe they should be treated as a kosher witness. Let's go through it. So, we have a Rambam. The Rambam, in Hilchas Mamrim, Perek Gimel, Halacha Gimel mentions that, well, he starts off by mentioning people who don't believe in the veracity of the Torah and the Torah from Sinai and that and Torah Shebaal Peh and all the tenets of faith. So that would make them, you know, a disbeliever, and they would be invalid as a witness right from that alone. You're independent and nothing to do with the fact if they don't, you know, if they violate Shabbos. So like simply if your beliefs are wrong, so that would, of course, make you not a proper witness. The Rambam, however, in Perek Gimel, we mentioned, says that you can't really blame people who grew up with wrong chinuch. You know, in other words, if somebody said, I don't believe in whatever, the veracity of the Torah and the like, and they learned better and then they chose to go in that path. So that would mean that they have a certain status. We don't look at them with as much as respect as we normally would because we feel like they're an apostate of some form. However, the Rambam says in chapter 3, if the children of such a person grew up without being taught the veracity of the Torah, you can't really blame them for that. Now the Rambam is, and therefore he calls him a Tinuk Shenishma Bein HaGoyim. He says it's like a child who grew up amongst the Goyim. Now the Rambam is not in that context talking about the laws of witnesses. But he does shed light on that concept that we have to go more lenient and learn merit on those who grew up with, not, although they don't act religious and the like, but if they didn't have the proper education, you can't really blame them. Now, there was a very interesting tshuva, famous tshuva, written by Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, who was a German Rav, and his sefer, the Shiloh tshuva, is called Binyan Sion. And in it, he discusses, if this is a tshuva written 1860, this is in Simen Chav Gimel, I believe, Chav Gimel, and he was asked how to treat Jewish people who don't keep Shabbos. Should we treat them like a mumer, like an apostate or something? How should we treat them? And he says, and now I assume the context was 1860, so the Reform movement that was in Germany was roughly around 1820, so this is already like a second or third generation of the children of that. He says, they're very interesting. He says, listen, they make Kiddush. He says, if a person is Mechala Shabbos, so we don't want to, they have a certain status where we can't, you know, we don't need to help them and this and that, and in a certain way, you treat yourself like a goy because you deny the existence of Hashem creating the heavens and the earth and resting on the day of rest. He says, but we find a phenomenon. He says, in the 1860s, he says, these people who were the children of the Reform movement, whatever it was when it started, the Enlightenment movement, they desecrate Shabbos, but then they make Kiddush. And they pray, a lot of them will pray or something. So he says, if you want to say they don't believe in Hashem, then why would they be making Kiddush and praying? So he says, you can't really consider them like a typical apostate or the like. So therefore, the Binyan Siyan concludes that we're not going to consider them like a apostate. And rather, we're going to learn merit in their actions. Now, again, the Binyan Siyan is not necessarily talking about as acting as witnesses. He's just saying that we should learn merit on them and understand that the circumstances of that generation were very unique. The Melamed Lehoyel in Chelek Aleph, Simen Chav Tes, also goes on to learn merit on Jews of America who, in the early 19th century, the end of the 19th century, were also irreligious, but due to ignorance and the like. And then we find also, even a step further, there was the Achiezer, Tshuva from the Achiezer, Chelek Gimel, Simen Chav. He even goes on to as far to say that there was some case where there were witnesses who kept their business open on Shabbos. They didn't do Malacha, and apparently, a lot of people there were very lax on Shabbos observance, and apparently they were witnesses or something on a get, and he didn't want to invalidate the get. Maybe because they felt that it was like everybody there at that time thought these things were permissible. It's an interesting tshuva, and you have to learn it very well, but it could be that apparently he didn't feel that they were necessarily invalid. Now, that is a big thing to say. We also find a tshuva from Rabbi Kiva Eger, Medor Kamas, Simen Sadik Vav, where he was quoted in Pesachei Tshuva, Simen Membeis. It brings down that apparently there were some witnesses who were shaving their beards with razor, which is a prohibition from the Torah, but apparently they just didn't know that it was a prohibition. They thought that, I guess, everyone does it, it's okay. And they also acted as, they were witnesses of a kiddushin or something. And he felt that they still are kosher witnesses, and therefore the marriage is a marriage unless there's a get, because everybody was doing that type of razor shaving and nobody thought it was an issur, even though that it is. And normally if you do a biblical prohibition, it would invalidate you as a witness and would make the testimony no good. But since it was something where people don't know it's an avera, at that time, apparently, he felt there would be kosher witnesses. Now, this would spark a lot of problems if we were to take the simple reading of the Achiezer, that basically someone who's more or less a tinuk shenishba, meaning they don't have a proper education, and they acted as a witness for, let's say, a wedding, maybe the witnesses, that the testimony would be considered a valid testimony, you know, the edim would be kosher witnesses, and thus the woman would be married. That would spark a problem, because if you were to go to perhaps many non-Orthodox weddings where the witnesses themselves were not necessarily, you know, we would think they're not so Orthodox, because it's a non-Orthodox wedding, and we're going to say, well, maybe they're tinuk shenishba, and we have to treat them as kosher witnesses, and thus a lot of, unfortunately, non-Orthodox weddings do end without getting a get, and although they need one, but we don't want to have a status of mamzeres after the fact, if the woman were to remarry and have children from a Jewish man during her husband's lifetime. So Reb Moshe Feinstein, in two tshuvas, one of them is in Chelik Aleph of Eben Ezer, Simin Pei Beis, in Anaf Yud Aleph. There he goes on to paskin that even though, yeah, we can learn lots of merit on a Tinuk Shenishba, we can say that a person who grew up with a non-Orthodox education and they not only they didn't get an education, but they grew up with non-religious parents and they just didn't learn anything better, we can learn lots of merit on them. But he says, bottom line, if they're not keeping Shabbos, not keeping kosher and stuff, even if they, you know, they don't know so much the problem involved in it, and they maybe do a lot of good things, bottom line, he says that bottom line, we still can't consider them kosher witnesses. And this seems in a bit in contrast to the tshuva from Reb Chaim Ozer Grzinski of the Achiezer. It could be it's a little in contrast, although it's unclear. Definitely Reb Moshe was talking about people who are driving their cars or doing real malacha, where it's very difficult to learn merit on someone who drives a car and still say that we could still consider them some sort of kosher witness to a certain degree, being that they, you know, they don't know much better. He says there's not, bottom line, listen, they're not keeping mitzvahs. So after, why should we, just like a goy can't be a witness, we'll treat him somewhat to that degree as well. And the Reb Moshe, in the end of the tshuva, however, mentions, he says that you know, this one, you have to have clear knowledge in order to invalidate a witness. You can't just invalidate him because you're like, oh, probably he's not religious based on whatever. You have to have like clear evidence. Even in theory, you're supposed to actually have two witnesses appear in front of that person to testify that they were Mechalel Shabbos or something like that, which is generally very difficult to do, especially if we're going back looking at a wedding 20, 30 years ago. And Reb Moshe uses the rule that sometimes we can say Anan Sahadi when it's clear as day that this person didn't keep Shabbos and mitzvahs. So even if we're lacking of having two witnesses testify that this person did Mechalel Shabbos, then generally that can help. But Reb Moshe also says at the end, he says in this case, apparently one of the witnesses definitely you could invalidate. However, the other witness, it wasn't so clear that you could invalidate him. He said we didn't have clear enough knowledge on that person. And even though there were some rumors that they were not acting tzniyus with some women here and there, but it wasn't clear enough and there was no clear-cut evidence. He says you can't just invalidate someone based upon simply, you know, assuming that probably some rumor came up. He says you really need you need clear-cut evidence to really invalidate a witness. It's not just some, assuming he's not religious or something because he didn't have a good, Orthodox reputation. We don't know. We have to verify these things. So it shows you that there's a tremendous amount of responsibility needed in order to determine if a witness was kosher after the fact or not. Now, in another tshuva, Chelik Dalet from Reb Moshe Feinstein, this one is in Simon Laman Beis and Zion. He goes a step further. Someone challenged his premise that a Tinuk Shenishba is, how can you say it's a non-kosher witness? You know, it's a mistake. They don't know they're doing something wrong. They don't have a proper education. So Reb Moshe says, listen, Al Kapanim, Heim Einam Shomrei Torah, Begam Heim Kaifrim B'Torah. He says, look, they're not keeping Torah. They're denying the Torah. Sha'af im hu ba'onis shalimdu avosav eino yodeh yisr la'id sheker. He says he wouldn't even know the problem that he's testifying falsely. Now, this tshuva from Chelik Dalet seems to be a bit more, I would say, severe than the first tshuva, because he's saying they don't believe in the Torah. I can't say that many Tinuk Shenishmas don't believe in Torah. I think that many of them, I guess we have to look at every case by case, but to say a sweeping rule that every Tinuk Shenishma doesn't believe in Torah is definitely not going to be logical to say case by case, maybe, but not, I'm sure many of them do believe in the veracity of the Torah. And if you said the severity of lying, I can't say that that's something that is a sweeping rule. I think that many of them do understand the problem of lying. So as we said, to say a sweeping rule that anybody who's not fully firm, they're an invalid witness, is a difficult statement to make. On the other hand, definitely if they are being Mechalel Shabbos and mitzvahs, it does seem at least Reb Moshe would say they're not a kosher witness, even if they are Tinuk Shenishba. We did say that there is some opinions that seem to be a bit more stringent on the matter, but at the very least, even to the opinions that want to validate some of these not fully religious Jews, they have to be able to come to explaining that if this person who does some act which is not contrary to Torah, there has to be some justification why this, that they're doing it, why they don't think it's wrong. If there's no real justification, then they're for sure not a kosher witness. So it'd have to be like, if we know they're not doing this thing correctly, but in their mind they're fully justifying it because they don't think it's a problem, that might be that there could be room to say that they are a valid witness. That's something to look more into. And by the way, a lot of people sometimes try to compare and make this mistake of comparing the concept of, non-religious Jew touching wine or looking at wine. It's another topic, and Bezrat Hashem, I'm going to discuss it in the next one, the next recording. But I would like to conclude with an interesting tshuva from the Tzemach Tzedek. And this is not necessarily talking about people who are Tinuk Shenishba, but it is talking about Jews who were acting as witnesses and they weren't so from, they were not fully religious, but we'll see how that maybe they would be still considered a kosher witness. So this is in Ebenezer from the Tzemach Tzedek, Simon Kufchav Hei. Apparently the case was about some witnesses who, rumor had it that they were eating non-kosher treifa meat one or two times. They had some non-kosher meat or so that they chose to eat, and they weren't learned. We say there's a Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Mem Amid Beis. It says, "Kol mi she'ino lo b'mikra v'lo mishnah v'lo b'derech eretz." If they don't read Torah, they don't read Mishnah, you can't really consider them a apostolatus, like a non-kosher witness. So Tzemach Tzedek points out very quickly that that you want to say that a person who's basically ignoramus is an invalid witness is only a rabbinical law. It's not a Torah law. That's number one. And there is a rule that for Eidus Nashim, we would validate such witnesses. So it means if they were witnesses of a Kiddushin, we would say it's a kosher Kiddushin, but only for money things, maybe we'll try to be more stringent on that. Or for a get, we can't quickly invalidate them if they just because they're not so learned, as long as they were following instructions and doing correctly from the Beis Din or so. Now, the other question that was discussed by the Tzemach Tzedek is they were doing averas apparently because they lived in some far out place in Russia where there was no shechet, and there was some sort of an assumption that they might have been eating treif over there that would make them or maybe because they were not married, maybe it's possible they did some sort of an avera by not being married and living out in these far-fledged towns with women, who knows. So, as we know, generally, we always want to take witnesses who have impeccable types of, very good, they have very good reputations and the like. So we didn't know much about these witnesses. So the Tzemach Tzedek, he goes on to say that just because you're not sure and you think that maybe they do this avera and that avera, he says there's also a rule that by get, the rabbi would ask them to have hirhor tshuva, think of doing tshuva beforehand. You really do that by a wedding as well. And he says you're not 100% sure for sure that they did these averas, so don't start casting aspersion on the quality or the witnesses and start saying maybe they're not kosher or this and that. You don't have proof. Just like maybe they're not kosher from their averas that you assume they might have done, they might have also done tshuva on those averas as well. So we have a suffix if they became disqualified. We also have a suffix if they did tshuva. So just like a suffix could make them sound in a bad circumstance, the doubt can remove them and make them kosher again. And then the Tzemach Tzedek also goes on to say that, with regard to eating non-kosher, he says it could be that if a person was under very harsh pressure, they were only eating part of food, non-meat for such a long time, and their Yitzhar got to them once or to eat maybe some meat, and it's not for sure that they did or there was pressure on them, and they probably did shuva afterwards. So don't be so quick to just say, oh, well, they probably ate non-kosher And you know, we could assume they did tshuva, or it was under they were under a lot of their yetzahar was very much on them, and they overcome it, and maybe they might have eaten meat. He quotes the pasuk that says that Bnei Yisrael, when they were in the desert, they had a taiva to eat meat. Miyachlenu basar, where are we going to have meat? Our souls are hungry. So the bottom line is that, you know, people could come to doing bad things, not because they're doing it as a rishus, but they fell to temptation and they could do tshuva on it. So Lamaisa, the Tzemach Tzedek concludes that we have here two doubts. Maybe they didn't sin altogether. And also, even if they did sin, maybe they did tshuva. So therefore, he doesn't want to say that there should be any problem with their testimony as witnesses, and he validates them. So we see that people like to sometimes say, well, maybe this witness is no good. One should be very cautious before they invalidate witnesses without thorough investigation by experts.